back to Adulting with Friends, my annual podcast episode. I'm hoping that I will beat last year's target of one episode. It's not actually that hard to do. So if I get another one up next week, well then, I can sit back and relax for 23. I do want to try and have this a bit more regular. So just bear with me. It's going to be a bit of a chaotic episode because I initially had wanted to do this as like my favorites of 2022, but I feel like we're so far into January at this point, even though it's only 2 weeks, feels like Christmas, New Year's, all of that was so long ago. So I think I'm just going to actually tell you my top three products that I found last year that I'm still using, still love. And then we're going to get into some pop culture bits. It's not going to be a very long episode, but I just wanted to sit down, get the ball rolling. And that's really it. I don't really have much news. I'm off at the moment, back in work tomorrow. I really haven't been buying a lot recently. I think after moving into the house and trying to like unbox everything and do all that, you realize how much shit you accumulate. So I'm really trying to be a bit more thoughtful in my purchases, because I just don't have the money, I don't have the time, and I don't have the space. So there you go. It takes a lot of effort to like be really conscious about your recycling and all of that. Like, I have so many clothes. Go into the charity shop, go into the recycling center because I don't want to put certain clothes in the charity shop. It takes a lot of time. And so I'm buying stuff now and being a bit more thoughtful and saying, do I actually need this? Does it fit me? Or does it look nice? It's a huge thing. The amount of clothes I've kept because they fit me, like I've just settled because the button closed. There is a huge difference between it fitting you and looking nice. I'll get into it in another episode. I could go on and on about clothes. The way my mind has changed since having a baby and from my body totally changing, it's wild. The way I shop now has really just changed. So anyway, I'll do an episode on that because I know when I talk about it, my DMs get flooded because we're all feeling this way. Regardless of whether you've had a baby or not, I think COVID played a huge part in it. It's just really, it's hard at the moment. But this is not why I'm here. This is not why I'm here. I wanted to talk about the products and the pop culture. So I'm just going to get into it, right? There are only three things that came to mind in 2022 that I have absolutely adored, which is a bit mad. But I think because of indie, because I wasn't really going out, I wasn't buying as many things, makeup-wise. So, I just wasn't really trying new products and nothing was really jumping out at me last year. I wasn't really the kind of clean girl aesthetic vibe. I like full coverage. And so a lot of the makeup that was coming out wasn't really for me. Anyway, the things that have changed the game for me and that I use constantly, the first thing is K18. So it's like a hair mask. It's weird in that you put it in when your hair is towel dried, but you don't wash it out. You just leave it in. It doesn't leave a film that leave-in conditioners leave in your hair. I can never use a leave-in conditioner because it kind of puts a film and makes my hair a bit greasy looking, and I can never get the right balance of using enough or too much. But the K18 is honestly, I think, the best hair product I've ever used. I put it up in my stories a while ago and only one person wrote back saying they didn't like it. Everybody else was like, oh my god, it's unbelievable. It is a bit expensive. I think for a small bottle, which I think is 15 mil. That's a train going by. Sorry, I'm really not in a podcast appropriate room. But I just needed to sit down. So sorry about that. I think for 15 mil, it is €58. I actually can't remember what it is full price, because I've always paid for it with the discount code. I have always bought it myself. I wasn't sent it actually originally. I had just heard so many people talking about it, and I was getting so sick of the quality of my hair after having Indie that I just was like, fuck it, I'll buy it. It's unbelievable. You don't use conditioner when you're washing your hair. So if you're planning on using this, you just shampoo, wash it out, and then that's it. Afterwards, you tail dry your hair. I tend to blow dry my hair to like 90% and then put it in. I was finding that conditioner was making my hair look really greasy, and I couldn't figure out what it was. No matter what amount I put in, my hair just looked awful. Switch to this. Not only has my hair quality been amazing, but when I've gone to get my hair dyed, they were like, oh, did you put a toner in? Because it didn't go brassy. The blonde, or the baby lights, because it's not really blonde, but the bleach in my hair never went brassy. It stayed a really like cool tone. It's unbelievable. If I think that it's amazing, I think if you're blonde, you will be blown away by this. It is so good, so worth the amount. There is a 5 mil. To be honest, I wouldn't bother buying that, because for a 5 mil, it's still like 20 something euro, if not a bit more. And you really only get like two goes out of it. So definitely buy the 15 mil. My hair is quite thick, and I use like two pumps for either side, and one bottle would last me ages. So now I do only wash my hair like once every 5 days, but still. Highly recommend. You can get it on Look Fantastic. You can get it, I think, in Millie's, and you can get it on Amazon. So highly recommend that. My next product that I recommend is the Elta MD sunscreen. I get the tinted version. Now, I got this in the Institute of Dermatology last year. I went in after I had Indie because I thought that a mole had kind of changed, and I basically just wanted to get it checked. While I was there, I made a list of all the things that I also wanted to check to get my money's worth out of whatever the consultation was. I think it was like 150 or 200 euro or something. Anyway, I had to get referred from my GP, and they referred me there. But I think it is pretty easy to get a referral, but pretty hard to get an appointment. Would highly recommend them though. When I went in, they had suggested this sunscreen. So it's Elta MD, and you can get it on Amazon. You can get it in the Institute of Dermatologists, but I don't actually know where else you can get it. I know in America you can get it on Walmart for a fraction of the price. It's like $19, and I paid €50 for it. It's amazing. Well worth the 50 euro. The only sunscreen that I have repurchased and recommended to everyone. If you wear it on its own, it has a slight tint to it that it kind of evens out your skin tone. It makes you look a little bit more alive, but it doesn't make your face a different color to your neck. Also, I think pretty much any skin color could use it. If you are very dark, I probably would go for the clear one. I haven't actually tried the clear one, but from what I've read, neither give like a white cast. But it's unbelievable. It is a lovely base under makeup. It doesn't distort your makeup. It doesn't make it slip and slide. And it just feels nourishing on the skin. But it's also not that heavy. I have this weird thing with sunscreen where when I put it on, my upper lip feels really heavy, and it feels like I'm sweating more than usual. And maybe that's on me and having a mustache, but it really annoys me, and I really find it hard to find a good sunscreen because that feeling of heaviness on my skin, oh my God, I hate it so much. So with the Elta, I never ever get that, and I honestly love it. So I would say if you can afford to spend €50 on a sunscreen, I would highly recommend getting it. I actually think it's cheaper on Amazon. I'll link it in my stories because it's genuinely fantastic. And you know, sunscreen is probably one of the best things you can be using for anti-aging. So I do think it's one of the better things to be investing in. Would highly recommend. And also, so after I used it, then I saw that Hailey Bieber and loads of people use it. So I think it's just this really popular sunscreen, and it's only like the whole brand is only coming out now. One of my friends uses it now, and they also have a really nice moisturizer. But I don't believe in spending a lot on moisturizers. I think it's better to spend money on hyaluronic acids and serums and oils, things like that. I tend to not spend that much on moisturizers. So anyway, that was my second product. And my last product is hands down the best thing I've discovered in years. And it is the Skin Better Science Alpharet Overnight Cream. It's basically a retinol. I suppose it is over the counter. I had to get it from the Institute of Dermatologists, but you can't just buy it in like a random shop. I did have to get it there. I know that Dr. Laura on Instagram also sells it in her clinic. I think they're the only two stockists in Ireland, and it does sell out quite a bit, but it's essentially a retinol, but you don't need a prescription for it. When I went in and said I wanted a retinol, they had suggested this because there's no downtime, you don't peel from it, and if you're sensitive, it's really good. There is literally no peeling, but your skin is noticeably different within a week of using this. It is unbelievable how good this product is. I use it, I just got a new bottle, and because I hadn't been using it in like 2 or 3 weeks, I have been using it every night. But normally I do every second night, and in between I use Biologique Recherche in P50. And I alternate. It's unbelievable. Such a good retinol. Like I said, if you're sensitive, I would highly recommend it because you don't peel. I've used other ones in the past. I think, oh my God, what was the one that I used just before I was pregnant? I think it was Kate Somerville. And while it was a very nice retinol, the peeling was embarrassing. It's too much. Like when you're sitting there and you can see that somebody is looking at the peeling skin on your face, it's time to say goodbye. It is not for me. I actually couldn't get it in stock this time, so I ended up buying it from the American website, and I got it shipped to my hotel, which I know isn't going to be like an option for a lot of people. But if you keep an eye on the Institute of Dermatology's website and Dr. Laura, it's Dr. Laura GP on Instagram, her clinic as well, they will have it in stock. There is an intense version which I haven't tried, but I think to start off with, just the regular overnight one is perfect. So they're my three products that I think were amazing, albeit expensive. But like I said, I didn't really buy a lot of products this year, and so I didn't mind spending a bit more on things that I knew worked. And I really wouldn't recommend, especially a retinol, I wouldn't recommend it unless it actually worked, because I mean, they can be so strong, but they're so expensive. And I'm on my second bottle of second bottle of all of these things. The K18 I'm on my fourth, the Elta and the retinol I'm on my second. Would highly, highly recommend. I also wanted to talk a little bit about what's been going on in pop culture, because I love talking about that, and I think people love hearing about it. Also, Kylie released her baby name. Released like it's a single, but she did. So we're going to talk about that. So the first story that I wanted to talk about, because it was kind of the thing that happened earlier on in the week, but I think is mad, is that Alec Baldwin has been charged with involuntary manslaughter. So in 2021, on the set of the film Rust, Helena Hutchins was shot dead, and I think everyone just thought this was the craziest story, because obviously it was this huge accident, but then afterwards loads of things were coming out that the set was really dangerous, that the hours were insane, and that there was kind of no care of duty to any of the staff. And basically loads of the employees on set were coming out saying that something like this was bound to happen. But it's just mad that a live bullet was even on set. And I think that a lot of people are kind of trying to deny this now, the people who were involved. Alec Baldwin is even saying that he didn't pull the trigger. I mean, obviously a trigger was pulled, and I think that's, you know, fair enough to say. The prosecutor actually came out and said, and this is a quote, "Well, he definitely pulled the trigger, and that's confirmed by the FBI report." I think he tried to say that, like, it there was like a back shot, or, you know, I don't know the terms, but it's just crazy. And why I find it so shocking is because the whole thing just seemed to be swept under the rug, and it kind of got a lot of light shone on it when it first came out, and then like nobody really said anything about it, and Alec Baldwin kind of went back to like posting regular shit, trying to get like his wife to 1 million followers, all this mad crazy stuff, when it's like, Alec, like, you literally are involved in this crazy situation. It was just mad. So I'm kind of shocked, because I just, for some reason, the quietness of it all, I thought that they just were going to try and forget about it. But obviously, in the background, they were working on this case, and he was charged with involuntary manslaughter. It's going to be so interesting to see what happens. And, you know, I know it was an accident, but I suppose, you know, something has to happen. A woman, a mother, a wife was murdered. And would you say murdered? I don't even know the right like words to use here, but you know, she was killed, and you know, I suppose for her, justice needs to be served, and so they need to get to the bottom of it, and somebody needs to be blamed for it. And there was a live bullet on the set, which is, you know, a big no-no. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I actually can't remember if this is going to trial or what way it's going to play out. I know in America that they do things differently depending on what you plea. And so who knows what's going to happen there, but it's going to be really interesting. And I'm glad that they are doing something about it, and that she hasn't just been forgotten, because it was such a sad story. So yeah, I was not expecting to read that this week. Mental. On a bit of a lighter note, Kylie Jenner has announced her baby name. So it's, I believe, oh well, actually I know, it's Air, A-I-R-E, because she left a comment on a reel of people being like, "How do you pronounce it?" And she wrote Air, A-I, or without the E. Air Webster, Stormy and Air. Is it any surprise that I love it? I really do. I think it's a great name. It's not too pretentious, and I just love it. I think it's classy, it's simple, and I really thought she was, after her initially going for Wolf, I really thought she was going to go for something a bit more out there, but I think it's lovely. And he is such a beautiful baby. Oh my god, they just make beautiful kids, and I'm excited to see what story they're hiding from us, that they made her take one for the team and announce the name. Every time I'm just like, Kris Jenner is at it again. What is going on? Maybe there's nothing, but on a random Saturday night to just announce it. I think it is coming up to his birthday, but yeah, it is, because he was born on the 2nd of the 2nd, 22. Why not wait till his birthday? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not as into the Kardashians as I once was, which is quite shocking to hear. Now, when I say that, me being not as into them is like still 90% obsessed. But I just think they're in their flop era. I think they know it as well, and they're kind of pulling back because just too many things I think have happened in the last year where people are just like, I don't know if I can stand by you for much longer, you know? I think season 2 of The Kardashians was a load of shite, and that takes a lot for me to say. I actually couldn't even tell you what happened in the last episode because I had it on in the background. I don't even know if I finished it. It was such a piece of shite that I really... The promos at the start made it seem like it was going to be amazing because we were getting all of this Pete content, and I actually think that they probably focused a lot of their storylines around Kim having fun and Kim being in love and Pete. Then they broke up, they realized they had to take all of that out, and then there was nothing really left. So, you know, we were begging for some meat. They gave us tofu. And I'm not a vegetarian, so... I was upset. I mean, they're definitely going to have a season 3. I can't even really imagine what's going to be that big on it. It's probably going to be a lot of Tristan stuff. But I think the whole thing with the Kardashians was that they were promising to give us stuff that was happening in the moment, that there wasn't going to be this like huge delay in time. But that's exactly what happened. And, you know, it's very hard to watch everything when you know in real time what's actually going on. I think they were clever to do the whole Khloe and Tristan thing at the start of season 2 because it would have been very hard for all of us to watch everything knowing that he was, you know, he's already had another kid and that she was, I can't even remember, had the surrogate given birth at that point? I think so actually. So they were smart to do that, but then that was the only good episode in the entire season. Which is so disappointing. And I really just can't see it getting better. I know back in the day I had gone on the Bandwagons podcast and we were talking about the Kardashians, and they were saying how because the Kardashians was ending and would it maybe go to a different channel, and I was saying, you know, oh, they're going to be talking about the same shit, but yeah, I'm always going to listen to it and watch it. But actually I think that they maybe should have left it with E. I don't think moving to Disney was the right move. Season 1 was good. The episode 1 of season 2 was really good. And then it was just so shit from there. There's just no drama. And you need a bit of drama. Not the fake drama that they used to give us on E. But you need a bit of something to keep us going. Because otherwise you're just talking about shit that we already know. Like, there's no point in giving us 4 episodes in the lead up to the Met when we know what happens. You wear the fucking dress and you lose a ton of weight for it. And you're going to get backlash for it. So stop dragging this shit out. I wish they had left some Pete stuff in. I'm annoyed by the whole thing. I probably will watch the first episode of season 3, but like, honestly, I don't know if I'm even going to watch much more than that because I really didn't watch a lot of season 2, and it's so disappointing because I was just so excited for it to come back. But that's my thoughts. Air Webster, love the name, love the face, you're a beauty. And the only other thing I need to really talk about is Love Island because it's back. I am definitely enjoying my pod on paper more than I'm enjoying the actual TV show. I just think Orla does such a good job at dissecting every scene, and it's just so much funnier than watching it. I think the first week is always a bit painful though. It's always hard when you can't remember names, you don't know who to trust, you're kind of on edge the whole time being like, was that genuine? Was that genuine? The whole thing is a bit, I don't know, you're a bit up in the air with it. I have to say I'm loving Ron. towards the end of the last episode, I was a bit like, maybe we're going to get Snake vibes from you. But so far, I'm liking him. I actually think that him and Tanyelle might be a better suit than him and Lana. I think Lana seems a bit boring. She's definitely been cast as the nice girl. She's been cast as like the liberty of her season. And yeah, I just don't know if him and her are as good of a match as initially I had thought. I'm not a big fan of Tanya. I'm not a huge fan of Shaq. I don't think that's going to go down very well, but that's my thoughts. I said what I said. And I am happy that David went home because I don't think he really gave anything. I think he came into it being a bit of a week 7 bombshell, and he was really just so upset by everything. And I just thought, did you actually come in here for love? That's a bit shocking now when it's like season 9 or whatever and you're like, hold on, did you not want a deal out of this? Mad. I am enjoying it though. I think there's a lot of potential. I think a lot of them are playing the game a bit more, and I enjoy that. Do you know what? It's gotten to a point where at the start, we didn't want people to play games. We wanted it to be genuine. We wanted people to fall in love. But once you get to a certain season and it's like Big Brother, you know that when you're going in, you're getting a lot out of it. I think you actually need people to start playing the game because none of us think it's genuine anymore. So we might as well call a spade and go in and have a game plan and just fucking own it. I think that's going to happen this year. And if it does, I really hope that the producers keep up with that element of game plan and throw in a lot of twists. Like, I'm watching Love Island and I want it to be like The Traitors. Like, I want people backstabbing now. I really, really want this to be like Survivor. A social game, a love game, and just a cruel, cruel game. That's what I want. I want them to do challenges, right? But I want them to go out and do challenges and like have 3 people go out and do challenges and come back and they have to say whether they won a party with drinks. That's what I want. We'll see. I think they are going to change it up a bit. I hope they change it up a bit with Casa Amor. Maybe have some dumped islanders go back in, or I don't know. I think they definitely need to do something. But so far I'm liking it. I think Ekansu and Davide really changed everything when it comes to Love Island. I don't think that a lot of people would have voted for them if it had been season 3 or 4. So from them winning, I think we know that how the viewers watch Love Island now has definitely changed. And so I hope that the producers kind of meet our expectations. But yeah, that's really it. I have nothing else to say. I can't believe Indy has stayed asleep for all of this. Like, I've put her down for a nap and I'm half an hour in and she hasn't woken up. So I really need to leave it at that because I can't push my luck too much. Sorry if this was a shite episode. It's definitely going to have a bit more structure to it going forward. And I'm really excited to get stuck into it this year and really podcast and just do the most, but quite possibly do the least. We'll see. Thanks so much for listening. Any products that I talked about, I'll link on my stories and I'll make a podcast highlight so that you can find them. And thank you for your support. Thank you for just being so lovely in my DMs all the time. I really feel like doing the podcast seems like such a safer space. And yeah, I'm so excited for it. DM me, let me know who you want to have on. I have so many ideas of different topics I want to talk about, like clothing. I want to talk about motherhood, postpartum. I think I'm probably going to do them in separate episodes and then have a little bit of, like, you know, what's been going on in pop culture as well at the end of it. But, you know, it's going to be trial and error. See what works for me, see what you guys like. And yeah, I hope everyone's had a gorge weekend, and I'll chat to you soon. Bye.